that are leaders in this conference, may we endeavor to do your will as your spirit leads. May we submit ourselves to you, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
And that is one of the members of Greater New York, and I ask even now that everyone pause and meditate, submit, and surrender to the Lord as you hear the beautiful music of Come, Holy Spirit. Submit and surrender to him. Then Elder Peters will continue in introducing our speaker. And for the next 1 hour, the ministry of the 10 days in meeting with the Holy Spirit and our great high priest begins.
The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came with mighty bonus prayer. His witness to believers was the Lord, and most of them were born again.
The recording started.
He scattered all the
Loving Lord, as we're asking you to revive the church today, I am asking you to revive me and everyone on this call. Many of our churches, unfortunately, are as dry as the hills of Gilboa, as cold as the Arctic, and the cold that we are encountering. May the warmth that you have given to Elder Peters, as he comes to us from Trinidad, as he introduces Sister Amanda, may the fire that was kindled at Pentecost burn our hearts this morning as we sense the Holy Spirit's power and is wanting to give us what we need. Take the voice now of Elder Peters, we pray, as he continues as our leader. Elder Peters. Technology is like when a parent asks the child to do something, and there is going to be anticipation. I don't know if Elder Peters has been blocked off. Elder Peters, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here with you now.
Okay. Go on ahead with your welcome and introduction. And it is suggested that it is 2 to 5 minutes, and the reading of the scripture, Ellen White's statement, and Elder Peters, would you continue, dear? Thank God for you.
Thank you so very, very much, Sister Pat, for your kind words of introduction. It is my delight to welcome you, Sister Amanda, and so very good to hear your voice in prayer this morning. We all know of Amanda's willingness and competence as she was given deeper insights into the sanctuary and its services. And so she has consented to be with us this morning, and it is our great delight to host you and an honor to have you share with the brethren over the next few days. We pray God's richest blessings be with you and his heavenly anointing be upon you as you address the subject of the same name, the anointing. So welcome, Sister Amanda, and I will offer a short prayer now as we hear your voice this morning.
And as Elder Peters is about to pray, we want to welcome everyone on this line, because you didn't have to come, but you came, and we want to encourage you to come back again and again and again. And as we begin this race, we want to go to the finish line. We will be praying for you and your family as you come, and we believe that you will be blessed. Some of you gave your name, others did not. I heard the voice of Pauline Baylock this morning. She doesn't normally talk on the line, but she was very fiery this morning, and we thank God for that. For those of you that are coming in from Florida, from Trinidad, Sister Winnie, and others that may be coming in from other states, Connecticut, Oklahoma, wherever you are from, New York City, of course. May God richly bless you, and may his spirit remain with you. Pray now silently for Elder Peters, God's loyal ambassador, as he prays for our speaker that will be coming before.
Thank you so very much, Sister Pat, for that interjection. Indeed, we welcome all of you. And this is probably the last opportunity for many. I pray that we would embrace this opportunity with all our hands and our minds and our being as we receive of God his promised gift and his willingness to bestow it, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit over the next few days. Let's make wrongs right and settle differences and entreat God most earnestly for that precious gift that will transform all our lives. Loving Father, this morning I give you your daughter. She's in your hands now, pliable and usable, and await your every command. Use her for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Amanda, good morning and welcome again.
Amen. Thank you, Elder. Thank you. Good morning and blessed day to all. The scripture tells us that mercies are renewed every day. And so thank you, and let's bow in prayer. And so, loving Father, we thank you. You said that in your, the Word of God says that you have chosen us and wooed us to bow in your presence so that the Word of God will expose our condition, where true confession can be made, repentance experienced as you continue to unite a people upon this earth. May that spirit that resurrected Christ from the grave, may that experience be wrought in our lives continually. We pray these blessings of mercies with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Sister Amanda, before you continue again, we want to remind every single person on the line, please go on *6. You're going to have a chance to interact. And then you will go on *6 again when you speak. But we are asking that everyone mute *6 so that we will not have the disturbances from the background. We are glad you're here, but we are asking everyone. I am going back on *6 and muting. And as we go in and out, you will have a chance to participate. But right now, we ask that we listen attentively as we mute ourselves.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to read the scriptures as I call them out. But before we get into it, this morning the topic is the Anointed One. Right? And I'm going to read some of Ellen G. White's writing. We take the Anointed One from the explanation of the sanctuary. Remember, in the sanctuary, Christ is the author. Christ is the instructor, and Christ is the interpreter. All right? Remember that. Christ is the author, Christ is the instructor, and Christ is the interpreter. Remember, a lot of times we would say, well, Christ is the author and Christ is the interpreter, but we forget that Christ is the instructor, and that's why the symbol in the sanctuary is given to us. It teaches us that we talk less about ourselves and more about the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the life of Christ. All right? So this is a couple of Ellen G. White's quotation here from the Book of Evangelism, page 221. It says, "The foundation of our faith, the correct understanding of the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary is the foundation of our faith." That's number one. Number two, it's the center of Christ's atoning work. It's the center of Christ's atoning work. Number three, it's the key to a complete system of truth. Great Controversy, page 423. Now, listen carefully to this. We are praying for the Holy Spirit, right? But listen to this. Preaching the sanctuary doctrine endorsed by the Holy Spirit. Preaching the sanctuary doctrine endorsed by the Holy Spirit. For more than half a century, the different points of present truth has been questioned and opposed. New theories have been advanced as truth, which are not truth, and the Spirit of God revealed in their error, as which was not truth. Great pillars of our faith have been presented. The Holy Spirit has borne witness to them, and especially in this, so regarding the truth of the sanctuary question. over and over again, the Spirit in a marked manner endorsed the preaching of this doctrine. But today, as in the past, some will be led to form new theories and to deny the truth upon which the Spirit of God has placed His approval. Manuscript 125, 1907, from the Book of Evangelism, page 224. So if you're looking to experience an awakening and a transformation, you and I must begin to allow the author, the instructor, and the interpreter to be our guide. Loving Father, the scripture says in Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waited but in vain. I pray, God, that we will become watchmen on the foundation as you continue to grow us up as tender plants in the presence of a holy God. Amen. All right, so when I was challenged with this topic, the anointed one, I'm going to ask someone to read Exodus chapter 40 and verse 17. And then I'll ask someone else to read Exodus 29 and verse 20. These are some of the scriptures that we would see. We would see the spiritual application of being the anointed one or experiencing the anointing of Christ. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 17. Anyone and everyone.
4-17 reads, and it came to pass in the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up.
Thank you. Exodus 20:29 and verse 20. If you can speak a little louder, it would be good. Thank you. Thanks for participating. Exodus 29 and verse 20.
Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it under the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about.
Amen. Notice in the sanctuary they have three tabernacles. You have a tabernacle, we don't have the time to get into the specifics, but you have the tabernacle in heaven. Then you have the structure given to Moses, Exodus 25 and verse 8, build me that sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Then you have the sanctuary on earth, and then you have you and I in the body of the sanctuary, the temple of God, the sanctuary, right? So in other words, you have, and they run on that line. What's the line of the sanctuary? The heart of the sanctuary is the law of God. When Isaiah 28 verses 9 and 10 says, the line upon line principle. The line upon line principle, right? So the sanctuary makes it distinct with the understanding of the solemnity of the time. The sanctuary makes it distinct with the solemnity of the time, right? Time, place, and event. Remember in Book of Daniel chapter 8, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, those are three main basic principles on which every scripture in the Bible lies upon. The common denominator for every scripture is time, right? Time, place, and event. Where is this time? We are living in the antitypical day of the atonement place. Jesus is in the most holy place event. Jesus is cleansing the sanctuary. Right? So you have time, place, and event. So when you look at the scripture begins to expose you for who you are. Now, that's the temple. Then you have the tabernacle was anointed when it was complete. You notice, I'll give you the scripture, but we're not going to read it. In the book of Numbers chapter 5, verses 3, 10, 18, and 25, you would see on the east side towards, it was the tribe of Judah. Right? On the east side. The Bible is very specific. The Bible is very specific as we take time to look at it. And the more we learn, it's the more we need to learn. Right? The more you know, it's the more you know you don't know. And then verse 10 tells us on the south side was the standard of Reuben. Right? On the west side was Ephraim. And then on the north side was the tribe of Dan. They were the leaders of the tabernacle. Now, it's easy to look at this and say, well, from an intellectual understanding, I see North Judah, I see North Judah, South I see Reuben, West Ephraim, and East is Judah. South is Reuben. West is Ephraim, and the north is Dan. But now, from a sanctuary perspective, when we are studying this, you want to see leaders in the church. So if you are preparing the preparation that precedes the blessing, now when you look at this, the first thing that comes to the mind is the character of these men. Right? What if you study it and then you condense it. When Sister Pat talks about short prayer, if you just praying 2 and 3 words to please Patricia Langley, it's not getting to heaven. The short prayer comes from studying the Word of God. Right? When we study the Word of God, then it's like an accordion. It broadens and then he brings, because you pray back now with the understanding of the scripture. You have many people who are butterflies and very poetic. But we were told not all prayer is accepted in heaven. Right? Not all prayers is accepted in heaven. And I'm speaking to a people who seems to profess they are living with doctrinal truths from the holy, the most holy. Right? So when you look at this, Dan, when you look at Judah, Christ came out of the tribe of Judah. Now, the meaning or a principle of the meaning of Judah is praise. Now, if you have a fretful Adventist, you're not fulfilling that role. You could talk that you are from the tribe of Judah, but when the manifestation of the principle of the heart is praise. So, if you're the tribe of Judah, you will be grateful for being chosen and being, as God continues to clean you up, to be among and a part of that tribe. Right? So when you hear name, you see character, you see law, you see righteousness and judgment. Now, if you are from the tribe of, from the south, the tribe of Reuben, what does Reuben mean? Behold my son. That's a principle of the meaning of Reuben. Behold my son. In other words, many of you are parents, right? When you give birth to that first child, I want to believe, that there is joy. I know when I was born, my mom said that he was so pleased when I was born, so he gave me the name Amanda. Right, Amanda, he wanted this little girl, they planned for this little girl, and here is this little girl, as messed up as I am, daddy loved and mommy loved me. right from the joy of birth. If you would think a little for the anointing, you cannot be anointed, if I was going to condense this in one word, divine repentance. Two words. You see, the world looked at things differently. You and I ought to be looking specifically according to the Word of God. It's the Word of God that instructs. It's the Word of God that is placed in the heart. And it's the Word of God that comes through the mouth in action. All right. On the Ephraim means fruitful, right? Ephraim is on the west. Fruitful. Many talk about the fruit of the Spirit of God, but if I were going to ask, you're not going to ask, because I'm not here to embarrass. I'm here to help God's children to think for themselves. Because this path is based on your personal relationship with God, on the authority of the Word of God, the doctrines of God, as the Spirit of God continues to unite a people. You see, you've been uniting, and your mind just tells you that. Many of you have chosen men and women, and you're burned out. Right? Many. So it's the same principle. It's not what you think or what you believe, but what is written. What is written. So you have praise, beloved Son of God. Ephraim means fruitful, and then you have Dan on the north. And boy, Dan means what? God has judged me. Right? And the tribe of Dan is not in heaven. Right? The tribe of Dan is not in heaven. We need to understand that. The characteristic that Dan manifested. Right? You need to understand that. So because you know, when you gossip and when we do these things, what are we doing? We are building a character that is not up in harmony with the north, the showbread of Christ that's on the north. All right, so now here you have, that's the completion of the men of the tabernacle inside. The different tribes, the north, the west, the south, and the east. Remember, if you look at Judah is entering from the east. That's exactly how Christ entered. If you look at Christ's anointing in 27, a principle of Christ's anointing took place on AD 27 when Christ was anointed. And in Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3, can someone kindly find us and read it for us? Isaiah 61 and verses 3. If someone, you would see the working of Christ being the anointed one, being fulfilling his ministry with the understanding of the prophetic teachings.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Amen. Why not pray, sis? Pray.
Loving Redeemer, just looking at this, I see that you're not pleased to have your people, a band of mourners. You are waiting this morning for me, for us to repent from our sins, and that we may enjoy the liberty as sons and daughters of God. May, as you anoint us even now, and you appoint us in Zion, that others will see your beauty, wherein they see only ashes, wherein they are pining, they will find joy instead of mourning for sickness. And I pray that the heaviness will be removed, and that the beauty of your righteousness will be ours, and that you will be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so you notice Christ had to fulfill the scriptures. Now, there's a teaching in the world that talks about the anointing. And there's a unity that is forming. Right? And it's forming. Don't forget this. Never forget this. The devil counterfeits every aspect of God. Don't forget it. The devil counterfeit, because he's not a creator. It is Christ. It's the creator. And he creates. If you look at the doctrines, what are the doctrines given for? And we're going to look at the scripture that helps us. Because if you're looking for the Holy Spirit as a magician, it will not happen. Saints, Bible study is crucial. It is very crucial. It helps us to pray with the understanding. When we begin to pray with the understanding, there are expectations of experience to be wrought. In the experience, we begin to see our character. In seeing our character, true confession is made. When true confession is made, divine repentance is experienced. It's a sequence. In Psalms 19, where there, I said what the sister the other day, as we were reading on the other line, and when the scripture says, and a line went forth. I said, we read it and we take this, you know, we just read it and that line means every aspect of character formation of Christ is based on a law. You have the law of gravity, right? You have the law of mercy. You have a law in thanksgiving. And you know, when Ellen G. White condenses it, she says, there is a gospel order. You can be chosen, but you can be frozen. And it's the word of God that gets us out of that. He grows us up, not to remain. And Adventism, this is something that we ought to be understanding. When the scripture says in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, for we speak to the law and the testimony. In other words, my experience must be understood. Stood on the law of God. My experience must be understood. So when I am testifying, I am not speaking about the event, but I'm speaking about the word of God that brought forth the event, empowered by the Spirit of God. There's an intimacy that God wants with us. It's an intimacy that he is looking. So for Christ to be anointed, he had to study the scripture. He had to pray the scriptures. He had to teach the scriptures. He had to live the scriptures. But we want to live without the letter. Now, you have a cycle there. The letter of the law, the spirit of the law, the law in love, that service, and then the law in character. Now, we don't have time to get into the scriptures, but is no spirit. Without the spirit, service cannot be manifested in love. And without service manifested in love, there's no character of Christ being formed. You get it? That's the sequence and order. So every day in your Bible studies, you're going forth looking for an event, learning object lessons. Not blaming the devil, for Joseph sent to us the word of the Lord, try me. And if you are spending time in your closet, when you leave your closet, the scripture says it is the Spirit of God that led Christ. So if the Spirit of God is leading me, then I ought to see Christ in every circumstance and situation in my life. It's not based, this thing of character building is not based on reciting. You and I were making errors. It's good to see our mistakes. The doctrine of positivity and negativity is not in the sanctuary. That type of gospel does not exist. They both are essential in our growth. They are both essential in our growth. You need positive and negative. If you study the stomach, you would be able to see. All right. So we notice here, I have like 5 more minutes. Now, when we looked at Exodus 20, 29 and verse 20, we noticed that the blood was placed on Aaron and his sons' right ear, right thumb, right feet. Right? Right ear, right thumb, right feet. Well, the ear, I don't have to tell you much. It's a listening properly. Right? Right tongue, a service and work. Right feet, telling of the good news. Why right? That's why the law of God is given. Because the law of God points the step. In the sanctuary, the law of duty takes place with the understanding in the holy place. Right? Show bread, golden altar, candlestick. Show, it's a day's journey. Show bread, what does that mean? Studying the word, meditating upon the word of God, and memorizing the word of God, and all of that the bread, intercessory prayer. Right? You have a lot of people that study the word of God and preach the word of God, but there is a prayerlessness with them. Listen to this quotation that I found the other day. It says the devil, and I don't like talking about the devil, but every once in a while I have to, because I think sometimes we give him more credit. And it talks about the prayerless work, right? You're busy working hard for the Lord like the devil himself, right? You're busy working hard for God like the devil himself. Since a prayer life cannot be transformed, right? Your prayer life cannot be transformed. The quotation is that the devil does not fear our work. He does not fear our prayer. He does not, because if you're studying the word of God without prayer, if you're working without prayer, if you're planning without prayer, we were told that he mocks at us. He laughs at us. So prayer is not simple. Prayer is not simple. Prayer is not putting a sentence together with good construct, commas, and pronunciation. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. Since the sanctuary teaches us we don't look for fruit. We look for the root, the working of the heart inside of us. When he begins to work inside of us, eventually the clarity, the pronunciation, and all of that he's going to put together. But what's the sense? What does it mean when you can construct 2 and 3 words together with no oil inside? kind of inspiration says, it's like dry sepulcher. And you know, when you begin to awaken the repentance, you know, you identify the dry prayers, even though they sound cute. You know that? You begin to see that prayer has no oil inside, because in prayer, you're learning to commune with one. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. And in other words, if God is a spirit and the letter of the law in spirit, how can I commune with God without the letter and the spirit coming together? My last quotation, my last scripture reading, this is going to help us to understand the importance of Bible study. If you want to pray a short, you got to spend time and practice in the Word of God, in your closet, and with others. This thing is not to happen overnight. And stop pleasing people. Learn to please God. Because if you continue to please men, you please your husband, and where are you today? If he's leading you down that way. If you please your wife, where is she leading you? We have to learn to please God. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2. Listen, saints, you got to remember these scriptures, because these are studies that just come moment by moment. I am definitely a fisherman in Jesus. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. It's a beautiful scripture that helps us to understand the importance of the anointing in my life. Can someone kindly read? Thanks.
My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass.
Amen. Thank you. In other words, the dew is the early and the rain, the early and latter rain. In other words, the experience, what's the foundation? On the doctrine. What's our doctrine? Sanctuary. What is the fruit of the sanctuary? The three angels message. What does that do? Brings about divine repentance, manifestation of virtue and truth. So there's a sequence and an order in heaven, and there will be a sequence and an order of the sanctuary in your mind, body, and soul as you prepare and as God prepare us to live with him in heaven. So it can't happen by just reading or reciting. You, for the oil to come into the heart, listen to this, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, he said, and I will put my law in your mind, and I will write it upon your heart, Isaiah 20 and verse 8, and then you will speak according to the law and the testimony of Jesus. We recite those things, but those words need to bring about experiences in our lives, so that, like Ezekiel 11 and verse 16 says, we will become and remain sanctuaries upon this earth. For Jesus prayed, Father, take them not out of this world, but protect them from the evil one. And the covering of the sanctuary was by the skin, so that the evil one could not see him, while the Shekinah glory was within. And my last scripture that I found out the other day, and we're going to close with this, 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. If you're talking about the anointing, these scriptures must come to be experienced in the mind and the heart. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. If someone can kindly read.
And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it, was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer
nor axe, nor any tool of iron erred in the house while it was in building.
Amen. In divine repentance, while the word is a hammer and an axe and a chisel and a sandpaper, it cannot be heard outside. You get it? If only the individual and Jesus knows what is taking place inside. But when you begin to experience the hammer and the chisel, now the scripture is very specific. Nothing was heard outside. If you are experiencing that, you can identify someone else when he's chiseling and hammering. When Patricia Lumley asks, I'm saying, reprove her, but also pray for her. When your husband acts up, reprove, but also pray for him. When the wife, when the children, co-workers, and fellow sojourners, you don't know what Jesus is doing inside of man. My last statement that I read from the pen of inspiration, she says the lost coin, a principle, because the lost coin is also the lost commandment of God. But in principle, another principle of it is also the lost individual. When Jesus said, when he had to pay the taxes, he said that, you know, when the challenge came, he said, go to the fish, get the coin, and what's on the fish? An imprint of Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Every human being, saints, today on this line, I'm concluding with hope for all of us. Every one of us, Jesus runs after, because there is an image, even though it's marred, it's in us. He wants to sweep us out. He wants to clean us and polish us up. And I pray today, as a coin being tossed about and lost, that the foundation of temple building will come to be a desire. We will implement, and the righteousness of will accompany our effort as we continue to grow up as a tender plant in the presence of a holy God. Breathe your breath upon your people, Lord, and may the Spirit in the symbol of water continue to wash as the law of God continues to direct according to the doctrine of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And that the Holy Spirit in the symbol of fire will consume sin and self from within us, that the sins will be seen in its clarity. True confession will be made and divine repentance experienced, so that the oil will come in, and as the symbol of a dove, you will continue to make us wise unto salvation as the anointing of God is taking place even now in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your tender watch care, your long suffering, and your patience towards us. Breathe that breath even now, and may the revival and reformation that is needed in our lives take place even now for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Sister Amanda, for leading us through that discussion this morning. I don't know if there is anyone online before we get into prayer at this time. If you have a question or you want to find out something that you missed from Sister Amanda's presentation, now is the time. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I
just want to reflect on this last scripture in 1 Kings 7. To me, it's very, very strong when I heard what she said about it. But I wanted to be grounded, and the house, when it was building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there were neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. and the explanation I never really get, because by the scriptures really we really have to read the word. And what she brought out was very strong, that even though when we are praying or, you know, things like that, even though when something is going wrong, we don't have to, well, pray aloud or let the other know what is going on, but we are praying from the inside, which means that we are building, but the tools that is being built from is not being seen or heard. I don't know if I get the right thing about it, but it's very strong on me, and it really shake me up and leaving me with food for thought to the end of it.
Amen. All right. If you look at the word, you go back and you start, the word is compared as a hammer, as an axe, as a chisel. Where divine repentance is being experienced, that rock, the stone, the God is writing the law upon the heart. So you can sometimes, because of the two nature, you would be, the individual is wrestling, and you would see all stuff coming out from the individual, and you may think that person is not with Christ because the building is of Jesus. But I'm saying, once you begin to experience the awakening of divine repentance, you have a clue of your sibling wherever you go. You have clues. That's why we need these experiences individually, as the Spirit of God continues to unite a people.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to just capitalize on something that was said on revival and reformation. This is very important. I know this person is an individual prerogative, and God is no respect of person, so everybody should have access to the grace of heaven, salvation that is so freely given through Jesus Christ. And another great point I'd like to emphasize is the power of prayer. It says in 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in the sight. Now, many people feel discouraged because the spouse have left them for somebody else, or maybe the man have left the woman for another man, or the woman left the man for another woman, and marriages have been all mixed up and tangled up with that. Something that says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, not somebody else's sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all, not some, not half, but all unrighteousness. So we have been given the blessed privilege of being cleansed all over again from secret faults and secret sins, having our transgression and iniquity blotted out, so that we'll be acceptable in the sight of God. So I just want to thank God for you, Sister Amanda, for being bold and courageous enough to just come on and just emphasize your love and touch, how you love to just share the gospel of grace, gospel of love with anybody on this line. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Remember, you're just not looking for imputed righteousness. You're looking for imparted righteousness, justification and sanctification. It's like an accordion. You know the difference, but then you see when the Spirit of God is harmonizing it in the heart. God is looking for heart religion. Heart religion. We have a lot of head religion. It's not a bad thing. Thank God for it. When you begin to thank God for the law in your head, you're keeping the heart moist and pliable for the working of the Spirit of God. It means the anointing of Christ is taking place in your life.
All right. We are almost out of time. I want to thank all of you for your attention and participation this morning. We want to engage in a season of prayer at this time. Based on the discussion that we have had, if you listened and you heard, we want to engage in prayer at this time. And our prayer will be sentence prayer, please. All right, we'll be first.
Loving Father, this morning I ask that the blood will be on our ears, our hands, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity of hearing your words. Put in our hearts that we would be able to see you as you are.
And I thank you, Lord, for the working out of your will in my life. Continue to chisel, break, and remove everything from me so I will not be the same. Amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, I want to thank the world for us not to be only listeners and hearers, but help us to practice it out into our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit who wanted to start a divine repentance in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I study your word about the sanctuary, help me to live a holy and acceptable life unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Help me, Lord, to understand the anointing in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Let me just say this. The anger is not our life. When the anointing is taking place, it's not your life anymore. It is Christ's. Paul tells us, you are decreasing and Christ is increasing. So the studying helps us to articulate differently with the understanding of what is taking place.
Father God, I thank you for your daughter who has explained so much in the way that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will fill us all this day. Amen.
Amen.
Well, on behalf of all of us, Sister Amanda, we want to thank you so very much for your explanation this morning of what is happening with the anointing oil. We pray that God's guidance will be with you for this day, and that you'll be protected and provided for in ways that you so desire. We look forward to meeting again this evening, my dear friends, and I trust that we would all be present on the Global Prayer Hotline, and we would make use of this time as we seek a deeper encounter with God. I pray that these 10 days would bring out the best possible transforming grace that could be seen in our lives as we engage in the next 10 days of prayer. At this time, we want to invite Sister Pat again. I don't know, Sister Pat, are you here?
Forth with the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray that the atmosphere of heaven will surround not only us, but God's people around the world. And as that takes place, there is going to be something different in what we are doing. And as we embark, God is asking each member of the body of Christ that we will be incorporated into the body by the Holy Spirit. No other power can add to or take away from the church. And there are indeed, as Sister Amanda said, and it's not Sister Amanda, theories that have come in that have been accepted as truths, but they are not. You and I must get into the Word and study prayerfully the Word. And as you study, you will sense the presence of God. It's like the woman of Samaria, which Christ met at the well. She was thirsty, but she was also thirsty for salvation. God wants you and I to realize today that Jesus Christ is the source, our great high priest, our heavenly intercessor. He is the source of water, the water of life. As that woman met him, he wants you, he wants me to meet him today. For the woman, it was in the heat of the day. For us, it's this morning. And after entering into conversation with Jesus and hearing him tell her all things concerning herself, she marveled. You must get into the Word of God. Turn off the television. Turn away the noise. Turn away the secular music. Jesus promised her if she would ask him, he would give her living water. And when John 4:13-14 says, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water, make sure you drink your water today, that I shall give him or her will never thirst away. Thirst again. The water that I give him will become our spring of water welling up to eternal life. I believe we have gotten off to a great start. And Elder Peters, I have been praying because you told me that in your church, in the evenings, you're doing something as it relates to the Holy Spirit. The fire was kindled at Pentecost, and it burned through the ages. The fire has begun burning this morning. Don't let the flames go out as God equips you and as He equips His church.